pastor asked me a couple weeks ago if I would fill in tonight, and I always like to tell him, yeah, if he needs help, I just tell him yes and do what I can. So that's why I'm up here tonight. But I got to thinking today, if he ever asked me to song lead, I'm thinking that's the first time in my life that I will tell a pastor no. I might tell him, I'll see that it gets done. So anyway, he did ask me just a little bit ago to make the announcements and take up the offering. So that's a new experience. We'll see how that goes tonight. That'll be the first time for that. There's a way to mess it up. I probably can. Or we could have Randy come up here and take care of it. We're going to be in Romans 13. You know, there's a lot of things you can talk about when the pastor's not here. And I thought, some of those crossed my mind, you know, because I thought about talking about pastors and deacons and I talk about giving. I thought about talking about giving. A lot of the things the pastor doesn't, he'll preach on them because he don't leave anything out, but maybe it's just not all that comfortable getting up here and saying, you better give your money. But no, what I settled on was Romans 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 14. 11 through 14, Romans chapter 13. Come on. No. All right. Romans 13, 11. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for just this opportunity to be in your house, Father, and open your word and have you speak to our hearts tonight, Father. And that's our desire. It's, Father, my words mean nothing. Your words mean everything. So I just ask, Father, as we attempt to look into your word tonight, that you speak to our hearts, Father. May hearts be encouraged. Father, I pray for all those that are gone. There's many that aren't here tonight. And I just pray that you encourage their hearts, that you'll give them safety as they travel, keep their vehicles running for them, Father. And may they be a blessing to those they come in contact with, Father. And we just ask that you have your will and way here tonight, Father. Bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so we'll read Romans 13, 11 through 14. And it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We only have a short time. We only have a short time here on earth. And Paul gets to the point here. Paul gets to the point here and speaks to what we should be doing. And it just caught my attention. And he says, in that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. There's three or four points here I want to bring out on these few verses we read, and we'll be done here tonight. But the first thing I want to talk about is we only have a short time. And I think Paul realized that when he was led to write this. You know, if you notice in James 4:14, we always think we have time. We always think we have time. You know, I bought a pressure washer, I don't know, come a month ago, and every Saturday that rolls around, I tell the wife I'm going to put that thing together. And it's still sitting in the box. My thinking is I have time. I'll do it later. I don't know. Maybe the Lord will call me home and she's going to have a pressure washer in a box and she's going to have to figure out how to do it. But I was going to do it this past Saturday, but I ended up dumpster diving for Eureka Township out there filling dumpsters. And I didn't know Eureka Township had that much garbage, to tell you the truth. It was garbage. I loaded more toilets yesterday. I don't know where they come from. I must have did a half a dozen toilets. But anyway, we always think we have time. And where was I going? James 4:14. It says here, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, and we do not. We do not know what's coming for us, heading our way tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I read that verse a lot to the people at the nursing home. And every time it talks about a vapor, you know, the only thing I can think of is a tea kettle on a stove. And you see that steam roll up out of there. And it's just there for a little while. Then it dissipates and it's just gone. And I think that's how our life is. You know, I'm 61 years old and it seems like, I don't know, it seems kind of like last week I was just a kid running around in Texas or Nevada or California or Florida. And it just goes by so quickly, you know, and it seems like yesterday we had three daughters that were about yay high, and now we have granddaughters that are that high. And you folks know as well as I do that time just flies by, and that's what Paul's trying to say. It's time to wake up. It's not that, you know what, it's tough preaching to this church because it's like preaching to the choir. But there's times in all of our lives, I would think, I know there's times in my life, and there's probably times in all of our lives where we just sleepwalk through a particular day. Okay, I'm not saying our spiritual lives were just asleep and there's nothing to it. I'm saying there's a particular day. It's kind of like we take the day off. And what Paul is trying to say is there are no days off. It's kind of like what Brother Ronk was saying here Wednesday night. You know, he was just trying to encourage us just to keep on keeping on. And that's what Paul is doing too. There are no days off. You know, I'm looking at retiring 7-8 years, let's just say. Definitely before I'm 70, Lord willing. But there's no time off after that, spiritually speaking. I mean, people still, you know, if the Lord hasn't come back by then, people still need to be saved. People still need to hear the gospel. And that's what Paul's trying to get at. In our life, it goes by so fast. So fast. And if I'm not going to go there, but in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about the blood of other people being on our hands. And I know you've all read it. For those we fail to witness to, when the Holy Spirit's leading us to do that, and they die and go to hell, their blood is going to be on our hands. Any of you ever get on Fox News and you see the cartoon of the day, and it's always Biden with blood on his hands? Anyone ever see that besides me? Because of the Afghan situation. But that's going to be us if we spiritually sleep through a day. When there was someone the Lord wanted us to talk to. You know, I remember years ago when I worked down to Belding at Tom Cotulin and died, I had a friend who was dying of cancer. And maybe I told you this a while back. His name was Bruce Keist. And he was home in bed. Hospice was there with him. And I had my Bible. I brought my Bible that day to work. And I was going to go over there that night. And I've witnessed to him before. But I wanted to do it one more time. Just one more time. And I didn't know he was going to die the next day. How could I know, right? But something came up, and I told myself, I'll do that tomorrow. He didn't have tomorrow. Bruce Geist did not have tomorrow. It was something I've never forgotten. The only way I can live with myself is that I've told him about Christ before. The Holy Spirit was leading me that particular day to go over there, and I had every intention to, but I can't even remember what came up. It certainly wasn't important enough not to go see him, but I did not go see him, and he was gone. The next day I didn't have that opportunity. So you never know when the Holy Spirit is getting a hold of our hearts to witness to somebody, what that will turn out to be. You know, years ago, it had to be 20 years ago now, when I first got the steeplechase tool and died. I was sitting next to a guy. I'm going to say wicked. I mean, he had no use for God. And I witnessed to him. And boy, did he laugh at me. And he had a few choice words for me. And I thought, that don't bother me. But 3 years later, he walked in one morning and apologized to me. Because he finally knew the truth. And he got saved. He didn't get saved because of me that particular night he got saved. But he realized what I was telling him was the truth. But it was 3 years later. So you never know. You know, pastors told us that 1,000 times, if not more. You never know. Maybe you're planting the seed. Maybe you're watering the seed. Maybe you're bringing in the harvest. But it's time. We take those spiritual days off. What's the cost for that? And that's what Paul is getting at here in Romans chapter 13. You take a day off. Now, I know we got things to do. Saturday, Lord willing, we're going to be helping Brother Barry move. If his house passes the inspection, and I know the feeling waiting on that. But I'm sure it will, and Lord willing, we'll be moving Saturday. We all got things to do. But that don't mean there's not going to be opportunities that day, right? When we meet somebody, I don't know where he's moving to. I don't know if he's got a neighbor close by or whatever, but you get the idea. Even when we're doing the things that we need to take care of, there's still opportunities there. Just like me being at work. I had to be there at work, but there's still an opportunity. And that's what Paul's getting at. Let's take a look at 1 Peter 1:24. I get to rambling and I'll never get through it. 1 Peter 1:24, just another verse that reaffirms that our life is short. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away. The grass comes up in the spring. It'll die off in the fall. And that's our life right there. We spring up and we'll die off. Life is short. You know, that's why Jesus took the time to talk to Nicodemus. That's why Jesus took the time to talk at the woman at the well. That's why Philip took the time to talk to the Ethiopian eunuch. That's why Paul and Silas took time to talk to the jailer. Now, I got to thinking about that one today. And how many of us, we know the story, so we're not going there. How many of us, if we'd have been beaten, chained, thrown into the inner part of the jail, and then all of a sudden everything was opened up, how many of us would have ran for the exit instead of taking time to take care of the jailer? I never thought about that before till today. Maybe it's because I would have ran for the exit. You know, I wouldn't blame somebody if they did. They've been beaten and they're chained and they're thrown into the dungeon and all of a sudden the doors are opened up. Their chains fell off. Thank you, Lord. I'm gone. But that's not what they did, is it? They stayed right there because they knew the importance of a soul. They didn't take the day off. Now tomorrow, none of us are going to be in that situation, Lord willing. I highly doubt it. So how much more should we not take the day off tomorrow? Who knows whose life is in the balance tomorrow? We don't know. Just like the verse we read, we don't know what's on tomorrow. Lord does. He knows. Sometimes it's hard to force ourselves. If we go back to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And that knowing, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. Sometimes it's hard to force ourselves to get out of bed in the morning, isn't it? Well, it's even harder sometimes spiritually. It's even harder sometimes spiritually, depending on our circumstances. But we're told to wake up. We're told to wake up. Paul is writing this letter to a small group of Christians in Rome, but it applies to us today. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:34. Now, the passage here is about the assurance of the believer. 1 Corinthians 15:34. And it says here, right there it is, awake to righteousness. Now, that's the way we should get out of bed in the morning, right there. That's what Paul is saying. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And if we don't awake to righteousness, then they're still not going to have the knowledge of God. You think about that? If we take the day off, there's some that's just not going to be saved. That's just not going to be saved. I think of our families, our friends, our neighbors. Our country needs Christians to wake up and stand up for the Lord. Too many Christians are ashamed to be identified with Christ. We all know people, have met people, good people. Good people. They're saved. There's no doubt in my mind they're saved. But they never speak a word for Christ. They never give their testimony. They never say the word Lord or Jesus Christ. There's just too many Christians, whatever that number is, whatever that percentage is, that are just ashamed to let other people know they're Christians. They're ashamed to speak up for Christ. You know, we look at Romans 1:16. Let's take a look at that one. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We get out of bed in the mornings and we're spiritually awake. There's no excuse for any one of us, to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And I'm certainly not saying that's the case, people. Like I told you, it's tough preaching to you people. But you got to talk about something, right? I can't just stand up here. But I have met people before that say they're saved. And if you look at their life, you know, I agree with them. It looks like they are saved. But they never talk a word about Christ. And when you get with another believer, they want to talk about everything except Jesus Christ. We went to a church years ago. Went there for a few years. And I had a couple men in there that are older than me, but every time you got with them, they wanted to talk about everything and anything other than anything spiritual. They never had a desire to do that. And I don't doubt they were saved. But it's right here, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's what Paul's trying to get at right there. If we're not ashamed, we're going to tell people about Jesus Christ. And just a thought come into my head. When is the last time any of us told somebody our testimony? You've all heard mine a lot of times. I ain't saying I've told anybody lately, though. But one of these times, I kind of like to do a Sunday school on just hearing everyone's testimony. How'd you come about to be saved? Wouldn't that be interesting? I mean, we all have a different situation. It doesn't mean you got saved on a Sunday night here at church. I got saved in a Pentecostal church, right? So not everyone's. I wonder if he's really saved. Every time I tell somebody that, I think the same thing. I'm thinking to myself, I know what you're thinking. But I better explain just a little bit. That Pentecostal church we live next door to, you all know it. I mean, you were there helping me move and put a roof on and working under the house and whatever. But they had a Baptist preacher come there one time. Putting on some revival services, and that was the first time I heard the gospel. Wife and I were there that night. we got saved, but it happened to be a Pentecostal church. And I know I get to rambling, but I got to tell you. So anyway, I accepted Christ as my Savior that night, so did my wife. And we went over there because we knew nothing about church. I didn't grow up in a church. And he said, well, now you've got to start coming to church. Okay, we'll come to church. But they got together and lined everybody up. And people were starting to fall over. Wife and I were on the end of the line. I told her before they got to me, I said, I'm not falling down. I said, if the Lord wants to knock me down, then I'm going to go down. But that guy putting his hand on my forehead is not pushing me over. He could not push me over. And the Lord did not knock me down. So after that, we left. And I was kind of befuddled, you know. I mean, I just accepted Christ as my Savior, and I'm thinking, this ain't right. I'm not putting a show on for somebody or anybody. And the pastor come over because we quit going for a couple weeks, and I told him that. He says, well, maybe you need to find another church. Exactly. Wife knew a lady that was going to a Baptist church in Riverdale, and she invited us over. See how the Lord worked all that out? And then we wound up over there. And we're there for a lot of years. But that's how I come to be getting saved, come about getting saved in a Pentecostal church anyway. But, and then the Lord led that pastor of that church to tell us we need to go someplace else. It was perfect, and he took care of it. Like I said, too many Christians are ashamed to be identified with Christ. Let's look at Luke 9:26. But anyway, so one of these times I'd like to hear everyone's testimony. I think it'd just be encouraging myself. 9:26. It says right here, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, and we all know this is Christ speaking, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. And that'd be a terrible ordeal right there. When he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Wouldn't that be a shame, if Christ is ashamed of us?
Why?
I mean, we're at a church with an unbelievable pastor. He's just the greatest preacher I've ever heard. And he covers it all thoroughly. And, you know, he's got to give an account. One of these days, he's going to have to give an account of all of us. And it's my prayer that he's able to do that with joy. But if we sit underneath him, and he's underneath the Lord, and the Lord is ashamed of one of us, well, that's not going to be on the pastor. That's going to be on us. And I pray that's not the case. I don't ever want to think about the Lord being ashamed of me when I get there. Have you ever thought about that? Seeing him face to face, looking in his eyes. Remember the time Peter could not look in it, when their eyes met and Peter had to look away because of the guilt? I pray that's not any of us. What a terrible moment when it should be a moment of rejoicing. We will stand before God and give an account of our short time here on earth. Do we ever go through our day and think about that? We're going to have to give an account of what we do tomorrow. Every one of us. Romans 14:12. Let's take a look at that one. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And we also know that, you know, every idle word in the book of Matthew, we'll have to give an account of. So what are we going to do with tomorrow? Are we going to wake up? I'm going to run out of time and I barely get started here. You know, just that thought alone ought to be enough to motivate us. The thought of someone's blood on our hands ought to be enough to motivate us. Just the thought of Christ being ashamed of us ought to be enough to motivate us. You know, there's something else that ought to motivate us too. And I don't remember if it was Brother Ronk or Brother Needham that touched on this in the last week or so, but and that's the Lord's return. And because of time, we're not going to turn there. But that ought to motivate us, too. That ought to motivate us. What are we going to... I forget which one it was that was talking about that. But he was talking about what are we going to be doing when the Lord returns? Are we taking that day off spiritually? Or are we going to be working for him, laboring for him that day? So number one, it's time to wake up. Number two, it's time to get dressed. If we go back to Romans 13, 12, Romans 13, verse 12, and it says here, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's the first thing we do in the morning. We get out of bed, so it's time to wake up, and then it's time to get dressed. Some people get out of bed anymore, and they fail to get dressed. We've all seen people admire. I don't care, pumping gas. I don't care where you go. But what is the deal with wearing your pajamas all day long? I assume they're pajamas. They look like pajamas to me. Boy, I don't know how that trend got started. Men, women, boys, girls, just don't bother to get dressed. But the Lord has something for us to put on when we get out of bed, and that's the armor of God. Too many times we're just spiritually not awake, and we don't put the armor of God on. How are we going to make it through our day? I'll tell you this, though. You don't need his armor if we have no intention of doing anything for him, right? Remember the crane kids, the three crane kids. Brother Jeremy was speaking, and he was talking about the darts that Satan has, right? Anyone remember that? I remember that. Actually, I think Brother Jeremy had an actual knife, dart of some sort. But if we're not doing anything for the Lord, why would Satan want to throw a dart at us? He wouldn't. And if we are doing something for the Lord, we need to put that armor on. Quickly, though, let's just go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and let's read verses 10 through 20. We need to spiritually wake up, and then we need to spiritually get dressed, which is what Paul's trying to get at here. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And again, if we're going to sleepwalk through our day, spiritually speaking, don't bother. Don't bother putting it on. Devil's not going to mess with you. He's not going to mess with me. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. This should be our prayer right here every morning when we get out of bed. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. It means he's chained to it. He cannot get away from it. And that ought to be our mindset, that we are chained to it. We cannot get away from it. And we need the Holy Spirit's help in telling other people about it. That should be our thought process throughout the day. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Shouldn't that be our desire for the day tomorrow? Just to speak boldly as I ought to speak. Just asking the Lord to give us words. Give us his words. Ain't nobody wants to hear mine. I mean, I'm pretty good at just rambling, but nobody, that's not going to do anybody any good. There's no benefit to that at all. So we need to wake up. We need to get dressed, and that's putting on the armor of God. You know, firefighters, police officers, soldiers, they all have their armor. They're not about to go out and do any battle without putting on their uniform. Well, the Lord has a uniform for each one of us, too. And like I said, I think, you know, there's prayer going on right now for revival, right? But the world, and I'd like to see that myself, but the world needs to see each one of us, Christians, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, just to wake up. Wake up and live their lives for him. Because nothing else matters. Nothing else is going to matter. You know that pressure washer I bought? What do you think is going to happen to that thing someday? It's going to be going out there in those dumpsters that Eureka Township has set up. Because it's just going to end up a piece of trash like our vehicles. Tina said the other day, I think I see some rust on the van. I said, I don't care, just as long as it keeps running. I don't care. I mean, it's not that I want it to rust. I'm not about to put no money in to fix any rust. Just keep running. Lord, just keep it running. That's the only thing I care about. So number one, we need to wake up. Number two, we need to get dressed. We better skip down here to number three. Number three, it's time to start walking. If we go back to Romans 13:13, we can wake up and we can get dressed, but if we don't leave the house, it doesn't matter. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Let us walk honestly. So you got to wake up, spiritually speaking. You got to get dressed, spiritually speaking. But then it's time to put the rubber to the pavement. Let us walk honestly, as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envying. We gotta get out there. It's talking about walking. It's talking about how we live our lives. It's talking about beyond reproach. That's what I said a minute ago. People need to see the children of God act like the children of God. And it's tough looking at you folks because I know you do. But I got to preach on something. But there's still those days, I know in my life, that I take off. Okay? Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. I know there's days I've taken off. And Paul's saying, no. The day is spent. Time is at hand. We can't afford to be taking any more days off, spiritually speaking. We don't know the cost. Well, we might know that cost someday. You know, when we have someone else's blood on our hands, we'll know the cost then. Well, let's not take that chance. Let's not take that chance. It doesn't matter, like that guy I worked with, if he ridiculed me. And I'm sure every one of you that have talked to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ has been ridiculed. I'm sure of it. But 3 years later, he comes back and he thanks me. Now, if he never came back and thanked me, if I never seen him again, well, it wouldn't have mattered if he did ridicule me. So it's time to start walking. Let's just take a look at a verse there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to read quite a few verses out of this, but I don't think we will. Well, let's start in verse 1 and read verses 1 and 2, and then I got a couple other ones there. Be ye therefore followers of God, and that's what we ought to do tomorrow, just be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And then if we jump down to, let's go to verse 14. And again, it's talking about waking up. It says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And what he's getting at is there, just walk as a child of the kings. Just walk honestly. Don't give people out there an occasion to doubt us, to doubt God, to doubt the seriousness and the realness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many times I think we get caught up in the atmosphere around us. Guys that don't know the Lord, they get to talk about all sorts of things, and boy, do I know how easy that is. I mean, I know how easy it is, but too many times we get caught up into that, and they don't see the real thing. So I'm just saying, let's just walk honestly. I got to finish. I told my wife, I said, there's no way we're going to be late tonight, but we're going to be just a little bit late. So number one, it's time to wake up. Number two, it's time to get dressed. Number three, it's time to start walking. And number four, it's time to put Christ on. If we go back to Romans 13, 14. Romans 13, 14. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So we're going to be done. But, you know, that what Paul was saying there, I just couldn't get my mind. There's a lot of things I could have talked about tonight, obviously. But what Paul's talking about there is there's no time to take off. We think we have years and years and years. We've got a lot of time. No, we don't know that for sure, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Somebody that the Lord wants us to talk to tomorrow may not have the day after. We just don't know. So Paul's saying don't take time off. Wake up. Time is short. Let's just serve the Lord. One of these days we're going to be with him for an eternity, and none of this is going to matter anymore. It's just all temporary. It's the stuff in between point A and point B. The only thing that matters is eternity. There's heaven and there's hell. That's what I try to tell the people at the nursing homes. Yeah, because not one of them liked their situation. And I don't blame them. I'm not saying they're not content and they're not satisfied, I guess. But they'd rather be at their own homes, right? But I try to tell them, it's just what happens between point A and point B. The main thing is heaven or hell. And the main thing is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what I try to tell them. Tonight, you people know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's not take tomorrow off. Let's wake up spiritually and serve the Lord tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, Father, for your word and how you preserved it for us. And we just thank you that for what you've done for us, Father. Without you going to the cross and taking our sins upon you and forgiving us and setting us free, Father, we would have no hope. And that's the hope, Father, that we want to share with others around us, and that they can have that hope also. Father, we know that you went to the cross not just for us, but for the entire world, for anyone that wants to repent of their sins and place their faith in you, Father. You promised to save them. Help us to relay that message tomorrow. Give us words to say tomorrow. May the Holy Spirit guide and direct us tomorrow, Father. And may we just be humble servants of yours. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.